Welcome to the Vintage Faith Podcast. We are a Foursquare church based in Culver City, California. We're committed to taking care of our community through the teachings of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. Our heart is to encounter God, equip the church, and love the city. Expect to hear sermons from our senior pastor, Matt Kladnick, as well as our guest speakers. For more info, check us out at vffchurch.com.
Welcome to Bible Storytime with Vintage Faith. Today's story is found in Mark chapter 4 and Luke chapter 8. Jesus calms the storm. When evening had come, he got into his boat with the disciples and he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side of the lake." And leaving the crowd behind, they set out. And as they sailed, he fell asleep. And a great windstorm arose and the waves were breaking into the boat so that the boat was already filling and they were afraid. But Jesus was asleep in the stern on a cushion. And they woke him and said, "Teacher, Master, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he awoke and rebuked the wind and the raging waves and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." The wind ceased and a great calm came. And he said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" The end.
Good morning, everybody. What? Oh,
nice
no!
Shirt.
You wear the same shirt?
Wow.
Oh, my gosh. What a surprise. Oh,
strange.
Man. I guess you can find just about anything on Amazon.
You can.
I imagine you could probably Google, like, peanut butter hat, and I bet you could find six of them.
I bet you're selling them right now.
Anybody want a peanut butter hat? I got it, my side hustle. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
If you weren't aware, my name is Matt.
And my name is Matt.
Oh, coincidence.
Actually, neither of us are Matts.
We're not really Matts. We're imposters.
We're both imposters.
Go ahead. Tell us who you really are.
My name is Ronald Matthew McMillan.
So embarrassing. My name is Kenneth Matthew Kladnick, but I've always been Matt. So
we were sitting early on. We just kind of met. We're sitting at lunch, and we all did like the credit cards things to, you know, divvy up. And we're sitting there, and then the waiter comes up by and says, "Ronald," and he looks at me. He starts laughing. He's like, "You're not a real Matt." And she says, "Kenneth," and I looked at him, I'm like, neither are you.
No, both fake. So, but we both know when we're really in trouble, that's what we get called.
Or if the bill collectors.
Or the bill collectors, IRS, anybody else, they know us by that name. But
yeah.
We're really happy to be with you guys today, and what a great story. Thank you, Hillary, for putting that together. She stepped up her felt board game for sure. Is she not in the room at the moment?
Nope.
She ran away. She's like, right. there's my contribution to Sunday, and I am gone. She's done. In that story, Matt, there was there's a storm, and there's Jesus, and all these things. And I know you to be a fisherman. Do you have any scary like boat stories for us?
Boat stories. Well, actually, my wife's not even here yet. Captain Danny McMillan.
That's
she's
right.
She's got some boat stories. She's a captain at Baywatch. I was thinking about the craziest boat story that I ever had. Oh, boy. They're going to have to tell me that over and over, the waving of the hands.
Yeah, they will.
I was actually fishing with my buddy Jake and his son Brock, our friend Kevin. I can't remember if Callie was there that time. But we're off of PV at a little 17-foot Boston Whaler. And we're just fishing, and we see off kind of in the distance coming from Catalina was just a fancy boat, like a double-decker, not a crazy yacht, but it was coming right at us, and Jay keeps saying, "I think that's coming right at us. It's coming right at us." And I'm like, "Oh, we're fine." So we just keep fishing and fishing. And as we kind of gets closer and closer, I'm like getting a little nervous. So I start honking my horn. And next thing I know, Jake's got Brock by the life jacket on the bow, about to throw him in the water. And I'm like, "That boat's coming right at us." So I turn on the boat and I gas it, lines in the water, everything. We kind of like take off real fast and turn. And all these people were on the back of the boat. They just had an autopilot. They were just cruising right by.
Oh,
I may have thrown a can of something at them as they went by. But that was the craziest boat story that we almost, you've seen those things on like YouTube where the boat rams over. That was almost us. And here was Jake with Brock about to toss him in the ocean.
Swim, son.
That was pretty gnarly. It was probably 5 or 10 seconds away from getting a bow at my head.
Wow, that's exciting.
What about you? Boat story?
Boat story. So I'm not really a fisherman, although several times I've been fishing with Matt and I have outfished him easily. But I get really seasick. Like I don't take baths. That's how seasick I get. Dad jokes. I told you there's gonna be a couple dad jokes, and I knew Anna would laugh at them. She's our honorary dad. But I get really sick in the water. We were taking a ferry to Catalina years ago, and usually that ferry ride, it's like a slow little thing, and I was so sick. And I got to the top of the ferry because I was like, I don't want anyone to see me. I'm a grown man, like crying, just my stomach's turning. It's all really bad news. And I got to the top of the boat. I was like, I'm far away from people. I can be miserable. But then someone said, that's actually worse because you're bobbing around even more on the top. So they said, get down to the lowest you can and get in the back, which is where all the kids were hanging out. So I was literally, if you can picture me just in the fetal position in the back of a boat, and I was literally praying, Jesus, wake up, calm the storm, calm the storm. And it was one of those things where once you kind of are sick, you're better. That happened, and I made it, survived. But yeah, I don't like boats, oceans, waves, not a fan. Not good for me. Right. Yeah. So, anyways. We're looking at this scripture today, and Matt and I just wanted to kind of share it together. And so you're going to kind of hear us talking at each other, and feel free to listen. Kind of like eavesdropping in a conversation that's happening behind you. You ever been on a date, and the conversation happening in the booth next to you is way more exciting than the conversation you're having? Don't say yes. That can happen. But so just feel free to listen in on Matt and I. The story we're looking at is Jesus in the boat, and the storm hits. And this story is actually told several times in the gospel. So you have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And Matthew, Mark, and Luke comprise the synoptic gospels. And these are the gospels that are most similar. Well, this story of Jesus and the boat and getting woken up in the storm is one of 30 stories that those three gospels share. So I have to think that if it is that important, if these three different people said, I'm going to write this account of Jesus' life, and I can't miss the story about the water and the waves and the storm, I can't miss it. It makes me think that this story would be important for us. If Matthew, Mark, and Luke were like, we got to jot this thing down. And it would be kind of like, it'd be like four different people all watching the same event. So imagine four different people watching a cornhole match, if you will. And Matt Kladnick, Kenneth Matthew Kladnick, throws an amazing shot. And there are several eyewitnesses to my amazing shot. I throw amazing shots quite regularly.
This has never happened.
But you'd have several different people who watched Kenneth's amazing shot. Because in that professional environment, I go by Kenneth. But you'd have several witnesses, and they'd all saw the same thing. But they would all tell a slightly different version of the story. Because maybe Jeremy was looking at me and he could see me trembling in fear. So that would be part of his story.
With your eyes closed.
With my eyes closed. Maybe Jake saw the lay of the bags on the hole. And maybe somebody else kind of saw all the heckling going around as Ronald was chirping in my ear. But you'd have all these different stories. But the one thing that is true is, did he nail the backside airmail? Yes, he did.
Did not.
Yes, he did.
Absolutely.
But so what I'm trying to say is there can be several witnesses to one story, but there's one main takeaway. And so that's what we want to talk about today. What is the one thing we can take away from the story of Jesus in the boat with the storm?
Correct.
Yeah, that's what we're doing today. Let me read it to us one more time. You saw the video. I'm going to read it to you in the Luke's version. It says this. One day, Jesus said to his disciples, let's cross to the other side of the lake. So they got in the boat and started out. As they sailed across, Jesus settled down for a nap. Who loves naps? Dads? Moms?
Yes. I'm going to take one today.
Grandparents? Yes. Jesus settled down for a nap, but soon a fierce storm came down on the lake. The boat was filling with water, and they were in real danger. The disciples went and woke him up, shouting, Master, Master, we're going to drown. When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and the raging waves. Suddenly the storm stopped, and all was calm. Then he asked them, where is your faith? The disciples were terrified and amazed. Those are two very different words there. They're terrified and amazed. Who is this man? They asked each other. When he gives a command, even the wind and the waves obey him.
You know what I like that every story was written, like you said, with a different point of view, right? And so here in Luke, the way you just read, Luke is portraying, he kind of has this thing that he kind of wants to get across to his readers. What I like about Luke is so far up in Jesus' ministry, he's been doing miracles like healing, like kind of like easier miracles, I guess is the easiest way to say it. Not that any miracle is easy, because I can't do any of them. But he's kind of just doing like a lot of healings, a lot of talking, a lot of teaching. And then here you have Luke where he all of a sudden he has three in a row that are very different from all the other miracles he'd done previously. You have him calming the winds and the waves. He's dealing with Mother Nature, kind of getting out of this world a little bit. The very next story in Luke is where there's the demon-possessed man, and he casts the demon out into the pigs, that crazy story. And so now Jesus is ramping it up a little bit, like he even has powers over demons in this world. And then after that one is where he raises someone from the dead. And so as you read these stories, Luke talks about how the disciples were amazed and terrified. And they were like, who is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him. And then the people around the pigs and the demon-possessed man were like, we are so afraid of you right now that you need to leave. We don't even want to be around you anymore. And I think for me, what I like is it seems like it's leading up to the very next chapter is where Peter says, where Jesus asks, but who do you say that I am? And that's where Peter says, you are the Christ. The Luke has been ramping up, who is this crazy guy, Jesus, who talks like no one has ever talked before, who has spoken and preaches and shares like no one has ever done before. And now he's got powers that no one has seen ever in a very, very, very long time. And it leads up to a pivotal point in Luke where Peter says, you are the Christ. And that's the first time that happens. I love that Luke kind of brings that all together.
Yeah. Have you seen that in your life, Matt, where God shows himself to be faithful and does something either miraculous or something just significant, and it seems to swell as he continues, as you mature in your faith? Does it seem like God's activity seems to mature also in your life?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I also sometimes think he needs to keep ramping it up because I'm pretty hard-headed, and I'm like, I'm not getting the point, right? I'm not getting the point. And I think that God, he continues to ramp up like, okay, well, here, let me show you again. No. For sure. But the more I mature, even looking back, I mean, I kind of like we all 2020 hindsight, right? I wish I could handle some of these things different than I had done previously.
Yeah, that's right. If I knew then what I knew now, but I'd lean into my storms a little bit differently because he's been real faithful. Yeah, that's awesome. Well, one of the things that jumped out to me is actually the portion after this scripture. So I'm big on kind of reading the before and the afters of Jesus' story because there's nothing that happened by chance, and things weren't just thrown together. The authors didn't just take all these stories and just put them on little sticky notes and drop them in a hat and just draw them out haphazardly. There's kind of a building story, and what jumped out to me is that you have Jesus in this violent storm, and the very next story, as Matt talked about, is an encounter with this demon-possessed man. And depending on which version you read, there's either one demon-possessed man or two demon-possessed men. But I think either way, a demon-possessed person is a challenge. And what I think we find is that there's this really unique idea that there's something violent and fierce that Jesus and the disciples navigate. And then right after that, there's something very violent, very fierce that Jesus navigates. But there's something that's excluded from the next story that is very obvious in the first story. In the first story, it's pretty clear the disciples have lots of opinions about what's going on. They're really scared. They're very confused. They're very vocal about what's going on. So I want to read to you the next story. The first story, violent storm. Jesus interacts, brings calm to it. I want to read the next story, and I want to highlight what is missing in the next story. And it's in Mark chapter 5. It says this. So right after this happened, they're still in the boat. So they arrived at the other side of the lake in the region of Gennesaret. Yeah.
What was that?
Yeah, that's how you say it in the Greek. When Jesus climbed out of the boat, a man possessed by an evil spirit came out from the tombs to meet them. This man lived in the burial caves and could no longer be restrained, even with a chain. Does that sound violent? Does that sound fierce to you? Whenever he was put into chains and shackles, as he often was, he snapped the chains from his wrist and smashed the shackles. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Day and night, he wandered among the burial caves and in the hills, howling and cutting himself with sharp stones. I think there's some real parallels here between this violent storm and this violent man. But as you read on in Mark's account, the disciples never go, Jesus, intervene. Someone wake up Jesus. Jesus, get involved with the story. The disciples are quite quiet. Why are they quiet about this violent, demon-possessed man that no one could overtake? I think it's because they just experienced the storm. They just saw Jesus show up in a miraculous way, bring calm to the storm, and they didn't have to freak out anymore. So now they're in a very similar situation where freaking out would be the natural response. And they go, in light of my past experiences all of half an hour ago, in light of a half an hour ago of how Jesus interacted, I have a feeling that in this violent situation, I'm just going to let Jesus do what Jesus does. I don't need to freak out anymore. What happens is Jesus casts the demon out of the demons, out of this man and into the pigs. All my bacon lovers, you're sad about that. He casts them out, and then immediately this man becomes, it says, of sound mind and calm. Isn't that just like what he just did with the storm? Violent storm, Jesus interacts, calm. Violent man, Jesus intervenes, calm. And I tell you what, kind of what Matt said is we build this rapport with God intervening in the storms of life. Well, one storm feels like this is going, we are going to subdue, this is the end of us, this is it, and Jesus intervenes. The next storm that comes along, you're a little bit more like, this is rough, this isn't ideal, but I have this rapport with Jesus that he loves getting involved in my messes to bring calm to my situation.
That's so good. And I like how you brought up just the disciples' point of view in that, like how they had just witnessed him do that. And then you see a difference in them, right? And I think I would have acted like the people of the town, like, what the heck is happening here? Like, you're freaking me out a little bit. I need you to go away. But his disciples that are there with him all along, they were the ones that were like, he's going to be able to handle this for sure.
Well, shouldn't that be the way it is? Like, shouldn't we live our lives in such a way that Jesus interacts, brings calm to our storms, and we are changed? Right? If you're not unchanged, then what? Then you were just a spectator of a show far removed from your situation. I don't know, but Matt and I could tell you a list of storms that we are facing, have faced, and Jesus has been faithful. And the storms, they still come, and they still annoy us. But we have this rapport to draw from. The last time the doctor said this,
yep,
it worked out. The last time my kids said this,
not my kids,
it hasn't worked out. No. But the last business situation that turned like this, the last email that sounded like this, it turned out like this. You are changed as God meets you in your moments of crisis.
Hopefully you're changed. I can also show you plenty of times in my life where he did it over and over and over, and I'm just still there like, nope, nope, nope.
Why are you like that?
I'm stubborn. Like, it's like my dad and mom, I guess. It's their fault.
God uses storms. And I think wisdom would be to be very curious about what comes out of you in the middle of the storms, mm-hmm, so that you can mature and become more like Christ because of that storm.
Speaking of that, what I like about in Mark now, so in Mark, this story is in chapter 4, there's a little difference all of a sudden because it's this very similar story, right? So they're on the side of the lake, and actually Jesus is in a boat teaching. We learn that in Mark that he's teaching, and it's so many people that he's forced to go onto a boat because they're just crowding him, right? So he kind of gets removed so he can talk, so everyone can be around him and see. And then we see that, you know, in Mark, he says, hey, let's go to the other side. And it says in chapter 4, it says there were other boats around them. And it's a thing that I'd never really seen before until we're reading the different stories. We're reading Matthew, Mark, and Luke about this, and there's this idea that when storms arise, like these were the people, I can just imagine it. Jesus gets in his boat, he's teaching. Other people get in boats and kind of anchor off next to him just so they could hear, just so they could hear what he's saying, because this man has been speaking like no one had ever spoke before. So they kind of get in their boats and they get out there like, hey, let's go. I got a boat, let's go. And they anchor off to listen to him teach. And it's later that night that he says, hey, we're going to go across the way. And I could see myself, one of those boats, say, let's follow him. Let's see what the heck's going on. Where's he going to go next, right? So now you have the, like, Jesus's boats going across and these other boats going too. And this storm awakens. The storm arises. And how crazy is it that that's in Mark and not the other two? And what I like about it is this idea that when we're in storms, often there's other people in storms as well around us, right? And maybe even in our storm. But more importantly, can you imagine being in one of those other boats that you're just, here's this Jesus guy that you're learning and he's curious and he's doing these things. He's saying things that no one ever said before. And you're so curious that you're following his boat across the lake, right? So you're kind of just like, oh, let's see where he goes next. And then this storm arises and you can kind of see you're freaking out, right? And you're looking over and the disciples are freaking out and you probably know them. A lot of them are fishermen. They're good with boats. It's not something that they hadn't seen before, and they're a little bit freaking out. And then you can kind of see, like, are they waking up? Jesus, what's happening? And you're, like, getting the water out of your boat, and he's like, you're freaking out, and they're freaking out, and everyone's freaking out, and this storm's going crazy. And you're watching the disciples who are with Jesus all the time, how they're reacting to the storm. That I think the way we handle our storms, others are often and probably always watching us.
That'll preach right there. That's good.
Not only watching how I, as a disciple, am handling this storm, but the cool thing, then they also got to see how Jesus handled the storm. He's like, I think Jesus is sleeping. Matt, Jesus is sleeping through the storm. Can you believe it? And they finally awaken him. He gets up and he says something. You can't really get the word because they're way over here. But it just goes calm. So not only are people watching how we handle the storms in our lives, but people are also watching to see what is Jesus going to do in this as well. And I love that. I love that Mark threw that in there. And it's something I had glossed over for 44 years of my life until we were talking about this. And I'm like, wow, there were other people out there too in the same storm.
Yeah. I think there's that immediate storm, the other boats in the room, or on the room, the other boats in the water. But I also think there's a secondary audience that there are people who will face storms much akin to the storm you've already weathered. And there's something about that that is it's beautiful to think about how God met you in your past storm, and then you meet someone else, and they are sailing into a storm that is very similar to the one you just got out of. And it's interesting the kind of perspective and hope you can give to that person.
Yeah.
And I remember, and Matt and I could share only about 30,000 stories about storms we've been through, but I remember when my mom was diagnosed with cancer, it would have been now 25 years ago, but I remember thinking to myself, this is the worst. Like, it doesn't get any worse than that. And I remember thinking, this is miserable, and I don't know what I'm gonna do. And I remember, Matt, you've been here before. I remember I felt like I was at a bit of a crossroads moment in my life. You ever been there where, like, things are going fine, all of a sudden, boom, you are at an intersection, and you have very big choices to make. And I remember thinking, if I hang a right here, I say, God, screw you and everything you've ever done. We are over. If this is how you show your love to me by giving my mom cancer, we are done. I could hang a right. I could go straight and I could say, well, I'm gonna choose to be numb through this whole thing, and I'm just gonna put my head down, and I'm gonna disconnect with God for a while, and maybe we'll pick up back again. Or then the third option is, God, I don't understand, but I'm going to trust you. And literally, I had a 33% chance of doing any of those in that moment. I really did. I felt like on the cusp of just a really big decision. And I weighed it out. I'm an Enneagram 6, so I thought through the implications of all these decisions. And I thought to myself, you know what? God's been too good. And I don't think my mom's cancer is a picture of his love for me. And also, I felt like if I disconnect from you, what does that say about the relationship that we forged this far? And I remember choosing, God, I don't understand. I don't like it. Actually, I hate it. But in this season, I'm going to choose to trust you. And that was a hard decision to make. You've been there before. You've made a decision like that. But what I found, Matt, is after the fact, years after the fact, when I bump into someone who says, oh, my mom got diagnosed with cancer, my brother got diagnosed with cancer, I can lean into that person way differently because of that one decision. If I had said, God, you and I were done for a while, we'll pick up later, imagine the hope that gives them. Oh, you know what? Yeah, you and God just break up for a little bit. But I can tell people, you know what? The wise thing to do is to lean in. The wise thing to do is to trust, even though it doesn't make any sense and it's going to be hard. I tell you what, abandoning God would be hard. Pausing my relationship with God would be hard. Following him will be hard. They're all hard. But I don't think that's the point of storms. I think the point of storms is that they are hard. And you are left all by yourself in a moment where you have to say, Jesus, I need you more than ever. And when I think about this, that yes, there were other boats with them. There are other boats with you. For the miracle that God has done in restoring your marriage, the miracle God has done in restoring your health, your career, your emotional health, whatever it is, that is a storm that you chose to follow Jesus into and be present with him in. And now your story, it gives purpose to your pain. And without that, I wouldn't have any very good stories to tell. I really wouldn't.
I will say, even if you had chosen that far right, I mean, there's been a lot of storms in my life. I can remember a couple where I chose that right, and I said, screw you, God, I don't deserve this. I remember someone in my church at the time asked me why I felt so entitled, that I didn't deserve to be, bad things that happen in my life. I do want to speak into, if you have done things like that before, where you've made that right turn and said, screw you, God, that I still share that story, that how God still redeemed me at a later date.
Yeah.
That even after I turned and I said, I don't like this, I threw a fit like a kid in the candy aisle that didn't get what he wanted, that even then God still walked with me and God still showed me and redeemed it and gave me an amazing future through that decision. So even if you make any of these choices that you talked about, like, I share that story still to this day. Like, hey, even though I did that God still loved me and still walked with me the whole way. Yeah. And it was probably a longer, more painful route that I chose, but it doesn't mean that God can't handle it any less.
That's true. Right. That's good. Thanks for sharing that. That's good perspective.
I'm not as good as you.
That's true. You're at your tables, and you're at your tables for a reason, because we want you to be able to discuss with some of the people you're with. So we've got some questions that will be on the screen in front of you, and we're going to give you about 5 minutes to go over these questions at your table. Be brave, share what you can, share what you want, and be a good listener. And if you're at a table all by yourself, looks like we're all pretty good. We'll take about 5 minutes. If you're online watching, then these questions apply for you as well. You can type in your answers, and kind of the other people online will enjoy to interact with you. So 5 minutes, enjoy these questions, and then Matt and I, we got some more bombs to drop, so stay tuned.
So good, so good. I jumped in that table back there, and a few of the words that I heard that stood out to me was someone talked about how calm Jesus was, and as we try to get more Christ-like, to have that calmness, we talked about another word that stood out was trusting. And I was just thinking about how quickly I forget what God has done in my past, right? And that how can I trust that he's going to do it again? Like, how come I don't just trust that he's done it 8 times in a row? I don't trust he's going to do it the 9th time all of a sudden.
Yeah.
And another word we talked about was panicking, that panicking doesn't do anyone any good, right?
Yeah.
That calmness.
My table I jumped on over here, best table ever. We talked about a little bit about those storms that are that you just can't comprehend. They're just devastating. The devastating storms. I mean, when you don't get the tax return you didn't think you were going to get, that's not devastating. But when you experience tremendous loss out of nowhere that doesn't seem fair, that's devastating.
Yeah.
And discerning where Jesus is at in the middle of the storm, I don't think we're going to figure it out. But
if you do, let me know.
I think the thing we shared at our table is whatever it is, find a way to be leaning in. Just lean in a little bit more. I think that's, you know what it feels like when in a relationship someone starts leaning away from you? Oh, don't do that to the Lord, right?
Yeah.
Lean in a little bit more, get a little more curious, be a little more present. There's big reward for that kind of posturing of yourself.
Yeah, yeah. So I know you and I were talking about the different storms, and so I think we have a few ideas of different types of storms, right? So what are kind of some of the storms that you've thought about?
Yeah, there are several different types of storms, and the one of them is the storms that are caused by our own choices, the storms you make. Anybody screw up their life at all? Don't make me get gospel up in here. The storms that you made. You made that mess.
Yes.
You made that decision.
Yes.
We all got that friend who just does dumb stuff. Because we can't relate. We cannot relate. Sometimes you are that Ronald. But we have storms that we make. We have storms made by our own decisions. And they can be just there. We have to navigate them. I read this quote this morning from Glenn Burris. Glenn Burris was the president of Foursquare a couple years ago. But he said this, and this is just roughly what I remember from the quote. He said, "All storms pass, but some storms leave devastation." I'll say that again. All storms pass. True statement. Literally, all storms pass. But some storms leave devastation too. There's a destruction that happens after them. And sometimes our decisions do that. When you choose to do wrong, when you choose to do this and not that, there are consequences to our actions. And this is something that I'm trying to teach my children. I'm trying to teach my children about what consequences are. What I realize is that the part of your brain that handles what consequences are is your prefrontal cortex. And what I realized is that your prefrontal cortex, the part of your brain that handles what consequences may be to your actions, it isn't matured until you're 25. If your name is Matt, it doesn't mature until you're 55.
Almost there.
But I'm trying to teach my kids about what consequences are, and that Polly, her literally, her brain isn't developed in that way yet to understand consequences. Well, for any of us 25 or over, or 55, 45, thinking through the consequences of our actions is probably pretty wise. If I do this, then that. That's probably a wise thing to do. But we create some of our own storms. We create some of our own drama. We create some of our own messes. This is just one part of the storms. There are other storms that we're going to talk about. But if we're really honest with ourselves, some of the storms that we have had to navigate are storms that we manufactured by our own destructive behaviors. And that is no fun at all.
No. I mean, probably most of the storms in my life that I've seen are things that I created. And I'm the hardest person on myself that I know, right? I'm the hardest on myself. And when I create those storms for myself, part of it is like, oh, well, I kind of got myself into this, right? Now, so I've got to figure out what I got to do to get on the other side. And oftentimes that is Matt trying to take care of it by himself and not enough of leaning into Jesus and allowing him to redeem the mess that I've made. But another type of storm that I think is a little harder to stomach are those storms that others create for us, right? And so there's a lot of times in our life where, man, I didn't deserve this. I didn't desire for my marriage to go off sideways. I didn't desire for my spouse to be unfaithful. I didn't desire for my loved one to steal from me. I didn't desire, I didn't want it, I didn't deserve it, right? And I felt like I shared a minute ago, a storm of my life when my first wife left me. I remember saying, like, I do not deserve this. Why the heck am I in this situation? I'm a good person, a good life. I was a youth pastor at the time. I was like, I'm giving my life to you, God. Why do I deserve this? I remember being so angry at God in that time. And it's just when other people create storms for us, it's a tough pill to swallow. It's hard to understand and to see where is God in that. It's hard to understand and see why bad things happen to good people, kind of an idea, right? But as I was thinking about this, I went back to what you just talked about, how sometimes I create the storms of my life, right? And it's those times there's other boats that are with me, right? And I need to remind myself in those moments that I've created storms in my life that have affected other people, right? And so I've got to just sit back and maybe have a little bit more grace, not only just for myself, but for the people in my life. And that if God can fix the storms in my life that I create, he can also be there with me in the storms that others have created for me. And I mean, for me, this one starts to get a little deeper. It hurts a little deeper in the bottom of my soul, right? It hurts deeper when it's done, especially by a loved one for you.
Yeah. When life gets violent and fierce because of our own actions, we go, oh, I get it. I've done this to myself. When life gets violent and fierce because someone we care about has done something, we're like, that idiot. What were they thinking? But you get swept into it. It's kind of like just, you know how storms, they're circular and they just spin and there's momentum around it. And the closer you get, and it's people who love other people, like you're like, your life's a mess and this is a disaster storm. We start leaning in, all of a sudden you're like, oh, I can't stop. I'm in the middle of it with you. So at some point we have to find ways to both be empathetic and be compassionate and be Jesus to that person without getting ourselves swept up into their storm. And that is a delicate balance. But what I see about Jesus, though, man, it just didn't seem to matter. He was filled with compassion. And he had this ability to say, this is a disaster, but my love won't let me shout from the sidelines. My love won't let me disengage and just wish you happy thoughts from afar. Jesus seems to always lean in. And if we're going to be more like Jesus, I say we need to be people that kind of put ourselves in harm's way a little bit more when it comes to the storms of others. Because we should be carrying with us this rapport that Jesus is alive and active and powerful. He's mighty to save. I know it's my story, and I'm going to bring my story with me into your storm. That'll preach, won't it?
Yes, yes, it will.
Thanks. So we have storms that you make. We have storms that someone else makes that you get to enjoy. And the last part of the storms is a little bit what my table talked about, is these unexplainable storms. These storms that just don't seem to make any sense. They don't seem fair. They don't seem right. They seem just downright evil. And we know that these storms, this is that diagnosis, that loss, that betrayal that happens. And I was looking at John chapter 16, verse 33, and this is Jesus' words for us, and it is as relevant to the people he spoke it to as it is to us today, right this very second. He said, I have told you all of this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world. Jesus isn't saying, follow me, it's going to be just so easy. He's saying, follow me, it's going to be hard. Like, I am the bringer of peace, but this doesn't mean that you will avoid all the chaos of life. That there is actually a purpose in these storms. I read this quote from Corey Ten Boom, and it says this: in order to realize the worth of the anchor, we need to feel the stress of the storm. I know. In order to realize the worth of the anchor, we need to feel the stress of the storm. And there's wisdom here for us when storms face that we allow ourselves to feel them. I don't know about you, but I'd rather just offload those feelings because I don't like those feelings. But there's something about feeling all the feels of a storm that allows you to understand the strength of God's might in the middle of all of it. But there will be trials, there will be sorrows, and it is part of following Jesus. And again, Jesus' disciples, I don't think they thought they're signing up for a cushy life. Jesus modeled for us what it looks like to have a life of faith. And again, the peace that Jesus brings us is most brilliant in chaos of life. The peace that Jesus brings us, it is the most obvious when everything hits the fan and it all falls apart, and everything that was sturdy becomes unsturdy, when everything that is foundational becomes shakable. That's when his peace really makes the most sense. That's when I need his peace the most, is when it seems like it's falling around. So we have to allow ourselves to feel all the feels when the storms hit.
Yeah, you're just talking about the disciples. It made me think of what kind of Messiah were they expecting, right? So you go back to early on his ministry, the Jewish people were expecting this big savior to come on a white horse and to get the Roman Empire out, all right, to bring the people back into the promised land, to save them and to get them back to what they thought they deserved. And Jesus came, he was so different than that Messiah that they were expecting.
Yeah.
And it took him with 3 years to kind of get through, you know, 3 years on this earth with those 12 disciples to kind of show them that, no, what I'm talking about is something that's not what you are expecting, and that it's going to be difficult, and you will face trials, and it's going to be hard, but I can show you how you can navigate that. And not only how you can navigate it, but how then you can help others navigate it as well. And like you said that earlier, that our story, that we can be a part of helping be the hands and the feet of Jesus in other people's lives.
Yeah. I think that was probably the best thing I said.
Yes, maybe.
But it's true. I think that is so wise. The storms you face, you build this rapport. And as storms arise because of someone else creating them or there are unexplainable storms, you carry your story of storm weathering into the next storm. You carry it with you. That's a good word, Matt.
Which one?
Yeah. We have a couple questions for you again. So I loved your table time before, but we talked about storms. And probably as we talked about storms you've made, you probably thought of a couple. We talked about storms that other people have made that you had to weather. We talked about unexplainable storms. We just want to give your table a chance to maybe share what kinds of storms have you experienced, or what kinds of storms have you seen others navigate? We're just going to take about 2 minutes and answer that question, and then we'll be wrapping up. All right. All right. Another famous Matthew once said.
Almost
all right,
famous
all right,
as
all right.
Oh, gosh.
Hey, I just want to say, Matt and I are going to wrap up in just a second here, but thank you for being really brave.
Yeah.
And I think some of you, even as we talked about, this can be really personal. And I imagine some of you shared some things that was like, pretty severe stuff. And thank you for being brave. And others of you, you felt free enough to take one layer off today, like an onion. You just went one layer deep. And thank you for being brave. There's something that happens when we bring these things to the light, and we start becoming known in a more intimate, deep way. I think that's actually when real healing starts taking place, is when we just start a couple layers below the surface. This series, Sunday School Remix, it is literally all about that, is just going a couple layers below the surface. So whether you shared your deepest, darkest storm of life, or maybe you just were only able to whisper a challenge that you're going through, thank you so much for being brave. It means an awful lot to all of us, because when that happens, our hearts get connected together, and that's a beautiful thing. So thank you.
Yeah, the one thing I've found in my life is that Satan desires for me to stay tucked away in some dark little closet and feel like I'm the only one dealing with this, right? He loves for us to feel like we're alone, and he whispers those lies that no one will understand what you're going through. He whispers those lies that you deserve this. He whispers those lies that you created this. He whispers those lies that you can't get out of this. You can't fix this. He whispers those lies that you should be ashamed. He doesn't stop. He's like that little nagging voice in the corner. And the more we share, it's just like in all relationships, I've been through enough therapy in my life to know that to get deep down in a relationship, you've got to share, you've got to talk, you've got to open up. And so like Clad said, thank you for being brave enough to just take that one next step. But I would really challenge you, like, find someone in your life that you can continue to open up with. Do life together with someone. We weren't meant to be just Lone Ranger Christians walking through this world trying to deal with storms on our own. We're created to be in relationship with people. And so continue to rip those layers away little by little, because that's really where healing takes place. So Matt.
Yes, sir.
The Matt, the one, the only. What is he? Well, what are you?
The
all,
Matt, the man, the myth, the legend. The man, the myth, you should get a shirt just like this
you
one.
Guys, you should. Even if your name's not Matt, we'll let you wear it. What is one thing that you're walking away today with?
One thing I want to remember from our time together is that that it is wise for us to carry our storms and the victory of those storms with us as we navigate life with other people. And I think there's something really powerful about recognizing that God has been victorious, he's been redemptive, he's been active, he's been present, and he will be all those things in the next season of life too. He will not change. He will not all of a sudden become disinterested, unattentive, uninterested, apathetic. Those aren't the words that we could use to describe who Jesus is to us. He's our ever-present help in times of trouble in the past, and he is our ever-present help in times of trouble in the future. And we can carry that with us as we go. That's what I want to take away.
It's really good.
What about you, Matt? What is one thing you want to take away or apply in your life this next week?
Just this idea of Mark that there were other boats. I don't know why that was so eye-opening to me. But this idea that sometimes the storms I create in my life, I cause in other people's lives, right? And that starts to sting a little bit more, right? I can be a big boy and be accountable for my own actions, but sometimes I'm creating storms for others. But then the other thing is that others are watching how I'm handling these storms.
Yeah.
And it's such a big deal. Like that, it's such a big deal to realize that, wow, we go through tough times too as Christians. And it's okay to share that. It's okay to let people in on that, even if they're not Christian. It's okay to let them in that I'm going through a really crappy time right now. And that they're watching how I'm handling that. And so my ministry is greater than I realized.
That's right. Sure. Yeah. Will you stand with us? We're going to pray and wrap up. You haven't stood up in a little while, so it's okay. Shake your knees a little bit. I just want to pray for us as we go. Thanks for being with us today. I hope you were blessed by what God's Word teaches us. And it should, what you learned today has a direct landing place in your life as you lean into the rest of this week. None of us are void of storms. They will come. And will we be present? Will we navigate it in such a way that we just say, Jesus, get involved. I want to lean into you right now. So let me pray for us. Jesus, we thank you for your presence here in this place. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. It is your Holy Spirit that brings conviction into our hearts, and you are so gentle in your correction for us. And so, God, if there's anybody in the room today that felt like a little bit of a correction happened, God, I thank you that that is something that you do, and you don't just correct us in order to like wound us or expose our wrong, but you correct us in order to restore us. So with the fervency that you correct behaviors in us, you are equally empowered to transform us into your likeness. So Jesus, do the deep work inside of our hearts you need to. God, thank you for your word that encourages us today. I pray that we would go from this place into our week, whatever it may look like, but we would carry with us this deep resolve that you are our ever-present help in times of trouble. That you are right there with us. We can trust you. Thank you for making our stories matter. Thank you for making our pain matter. Thank you for making the twists and turns of life make sense because you've been with us every step of the way. Jesus, give us your peace. Fill us with boldness and bravery. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thank you so much for being with us today. And as we say here at Vintage Faith, be the church. Take what you've learned and just embody this as you go. Thank you for being with us.